Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Teen off tomorrow out in Scotland. We'll give out our full card for that. Chase Kitty going to join us later on as well. Chase is going to give us some updates on Wimbledon, let us know what he likes, get a few college football thoughts from him as well. As always, want to hear from you guys throughout the show, throughout the next 30 minutes. Any questions that you have for us on Michigan football, Dallas Cowboys, anything in Major League Baseball, in the world of golf, let us know. Hit us up at the BetMGM Network on Twitch, on YouTube, on X as well. We love when you guys interact, give us questions throughout the show, and we will get to those. And if you guys miss any part of the show today, make sure you check out the Send It In podcast, which is available wherever you get your podcast. Let's get rolling. Glasses in session on a Wednesday. We go to the Glasser guest line, check in with Clayton Safey, who joins us from the Wolverine.com. Give Clayton a follow on X at CSAF23. And Clayton, great to have you back on the show, man. It certainly was an interesting year for Michigan last season, right? Didn't start off all that hot, but then those two big wins at the end of the year, beating Ohio State for a fourth straight time, and then beating Alabama in the bowl game as well. So, like, what's the expectations now heading into this season, right? Off of those two wins, do people now feel like they have a little bit of momentum heading into this upcoming season?
Yeah, well, first of all, with the topics on the show, I feel like there's a joke in there somewhere of Michigan, Cowboys, maybe you'll talk Yankees and Lakers later, but a couple True. Blue blood type of teams that maybe didn't live up to expectations last year. But yeah, it's interesting. I think expectations changed for what this Michigan team could be this season at the end of last year. They land Bryce Underwood. A few days later, they beat Northwestern handily on senior day, and then they go into Columbus when no one gave them a shot as 19.5-point underdogs, shock the entire college football world to beat Ohio State, and then do the same thing on New Year's Eve against Alabama, which was an incredible win considering most of Michigan's best players were out. So with Bryce Underwood in the fold, the number one overall recruit in the country, well, things are looking more up for Michigan, because last year they had a great defense, especially at the end of the year. They had some good running backs. They didn't have maybe the firepower at wide receiver, but you had a great tight end. You were just missing the quarterback play. So a lot of talent departs last year's team. You still have a lot to figure out on both sides of the ball in terms of who those guys are going to be and how good they're going to be, you know, stepping into those roles. But if you fix the quarterback play, which at the very least is going to be pretty significantly better than it was a year ago, then I think, you know, you have a much better chance of competing for what your goals are, which is, you know, winning the Big Ten, but really more importantly for me, in today's college football is making the college football playoff, staying healthy, maybe getting a favorable matchup and seeing how far you can go. I think that most Michigan fans are looking for them to make the playoff this year, maybe at least be a win away from that, and you would call it a pretty okay season. But if you get in and take your shot, I think that people would be pretty happy with that.
Yeah, I want to talk about the offense with you, Clayton, because certainly a lot of new faces, new names on that side of the ball. The biggest one, as you mentioned, being Bryce Underwood, the freshman quarterback. And that was really Michigan's problems. The root of their problems last season was they did not have a quarterback, obviously, trying to replace J.J. McCarthy. They just didn't find the answer. They're hoping they have that in Underwood. We won't know how great he is until we play the season and we see him in the games. But from what you've seen in practices, talking to the coaching staff, the players, what have been the initial impressions of Bryce Underwood so far?
So far as advertised, although it's sometimes hard to figure out exactly how good freshmen are when they're being talked about, or you see them in practice or a drill or something like that, the very limited stuff you get back in the bowl practice last December or in the spring game this past year. He did look pretty good in that, but you know, there were also some freshman mistakes in there, so I think that's to be expected. But, you know, I think the sky's the limit for him as far as, you know, his future as a football player. The big question is, you know, when does he start, you know, scraping the surface of the sky, I guess, so to speak, because they have some big games early in the season, right? You have to go to Oklahoma in week two, and that's going to be a tough environment. 7:30 p.m. Eastern time, going to be a raucous atmosphere and a tough team to play against. You know, I know Oklahoma hasn't met expectations themselves, but Brent Venables calling their defense, he's been a great defensive coach throughout his career. So that's the first big challenge. Then 2 weeks later, you go at Nebraska. A couple weeks later, you're at USC. It's really hard to travel across multiple time zones in the Big Ten. Teams that in those situations last year went 6-27. So you add in that being your first experience in college football, then it's going to be a challenge. But if it clicks right away, and, you know, I think it'll be a breath of fresh air for Michigan fans that had to endure that offense last year. I think they had four games last season with under 100 yards passing. You were essentially playing games with one hand tied behind your back. So I think it's going to be much better. But how much better is going to determine whether this is 8-4 or 10-2, 11-1, you know, type of team.
What about the skill position guys? Running back, wide receiver, tight ends. Obviously, no more Donovan Edwards, no more Colston Loveland. They're trying to replace a lot of production. Give us a name or two of some guys maybe you think could emerge this season.
I think the running back duo they have, despite losing both of the top two guys from last season, Khalil Mullings and Donovan Edwards, is going to be better than it was a season ago. They bring in Justice Haynes from Alabama, who was kind of a co-starter, 1A, 1B, with Jam Miller there last year. And then Jordan Marshall is a redshirt freshman who was hurt a lot of last season, but also wasn't going to earn that much time because of the guys that were in front of him. He broke out in the bowl game against Alabama, 100 yards. He forced 12 missed tackles. That was the most by a Michigan player in a game since 2022. Averaged over 3 yards after contact per rush, meaning the offensive line didn't help him out too much, but he was able to gain a ton of yardage. And really helped them win that game, essentially with being the only offensive player that had any production that game. So I like the running backs. I think that Donovan McCulley, Indiana transfer wide receiver, is another name to know. But, you know, the tight end spot is, you know, that's a huge loss because he was the one safety blanket last year.
No question. We're talking with Clayton Safey here on Send It In. Give him a follow on XCSAF23Wolverine.com. Clayton, let's talk about the other side of the ball, right? Because Michigan's defense the last 4 or 5 years has been awesome. This past year was no different. They did have some injuries. Will Johnson missed some time at corner, but Mason Graham, Kenneth Grant up front, they're going to have to replace those guys. How do you see that Michigan defense looking this year? Is it still going to be really good as it has been the last few years?
Yeah, I think it has the potential to be. Now, whether it's really good or elite, you know, that's a big difference, I think. And it remains to be seen exactly how they will turn out, but I think you have to have a ton of confidence right now in their coordinator, Wink Martindale, because of what he did at the end of last season when Will Johnson was injured. They had to move their starting nickel, Zeke Berry, outside to corner. They had to bring a safety down to nickel who hadn't played that position his entire career, and they pieced it together. They improved throughout the season despite having some of those injuries. And then what they did in the bowl game against Alabama, shutting down an offense that had all of their star players playing, without your star players, Mason Graham, Kenneth Grant, Josiah Stewart, three top 100 NFL draft picks on the defensive line. That was a masterpiece, as was the Ohio State game, holding them to 10 points, a team that won the national championship. So first and foremost, it starts with that guy, Wink Martindale, heading into his second year. Team is much more comfortable playing for him. I think he's much more comfortable at Michigan. But they absolutely prioritized replacing those D tackles, brought in some guys from the transfer portal. They feel like they have six guys at D tackle that can rotate through. They're all 296 plus pounds, so you're rotating in fresh big bodies up front. Derek Moore, I think, is an edge rusher to watch in the Big Ten this year, and Rashawn Benny at D tackle is somebody that Michigan fans know about, but others don't, because he only was backing up Mozzie Smith, Chris Jenkins, Mason Graham, and Kenneth Grant the last few years. He's a stud player that's made some big plays. I think people are going to know more about him by the end of the year. So there's still some star power there. Both inside linebackers are back. The safeties look really good. I expect it to be a top 10-ish defense in the country again.
Vegas right now, Clayton, has Michigan's win total at 8.5. It's juiced to the over, about minus 145. So they expect Michigan to go 9-3 for this upcoming season. Is that where you're at? Do you see 9-3, maybe even 10-2? Are you more so on the 8-4 side? How do you see the season playing out?
I see 8-4 or 10-2 as the two likely scenarios. Like, a lot of it's going to depend on how good Bryce Underwood is right away, how good the offensive line comes together. That's a major question mark. So I know that sounds weird to say, when we had to make a prediction, I did go with 10-2. I like the schedule. I think it actually sets up a little bit nicer. Last year, they had a total gauntlet of a schedule. This year, you play some teams that are kind of boom or bust, like Michigan. You play Nebraska, USC, Wisconsin, Washington, Oklahoma, all teams that could go one way or the other in a given season. But I actually like the way that it sets up for Michigan, even though some of those games are on the road. So I went with 10-2, but I think that there's a wide range of possibilities. And probably in a given year, there are more wider range of possibilities. No one thought they'd have seven regular season wins last year with all the star power that they brought back, but they did. So anything could happen. I hate to say that. It's a cop-out answer, but it's kind of the way it goes right now in college football, especially with the way things are trending with the portal and uncertainty about what teams are, what they aren't.
I'm with you, man. I mean, Michigan is going to be an interesting team to watch, obviously, with Underwood, the production they're trying to replace, and how last season went, how they finished, how it's going to look for the Wolverines. Always great having Clayton Safey on the show of Wolverine.com. Give him a follow again on X at CSAF23. We'll have him on throughout the season talking Michigan big games. Clayton, have a great rest of your summer, man. Appreciate the time. Talk again soon.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it. Yeah,
absolutely. All right, guys, let's continue talking Michigan here on Send It In. As Clayton was just bringing up the schedule, Sean will bring it up for you here. As you guys can see, going to play New Mexico week one. That's going to be a win. But then you have that massive week two game early on in the season at Oklahoma. I love when we get games like this between two big brands that both really need that win, right? Brett Venables especially. You're at home against a big time team in Michigan who certainly has aspirations of getting to the college football playoff. You need to win that game if you're Oklahoma. But what a massive opportunity for Michigan early on in the season, and Bryce Underwood kind of putting himself in the national spotlight. That's going to be a fun one to watch. Then you got Central Michigan after that. That should be a win. Then comes that tricky game against Nebraska. We previewed the Cornhuskers yesterday. I told you guys how much I like Nebraska this upcoming season. That's going to be a tricky game. Then a bye week. Then you get Wisconsin and you get USC. Both the Badgers and USC are going to have bye weeks in those games before they take on Michigan. So they're going to get 2 weeks of prep leading up to the game against USC. Obviously, Michigan's coming off a bye against Wisconsin as well, so that should help them. But the fact that USC gets the bye week taking on Michigan, how great of a stat was that Clayton gave out? Teams traveling through multiple time zones, 6-27 last year in the Big Ten. That's certainly going to be a tough game for Michigan to deal with. Keep in mind, they lost when they went out to the West Coast last year to take on Washington in Seattle. Speaking of Washington, they get them after the USC game. Then it's the rivalry game against Michigan State in East Lansing, which is never easy. Even when Jim Harbaugh was there, they always struggled against the Spartans. Purdue at home, then a bye week, and then you finish up with Northwestern Maryland before, of course, getting the game against Ohio State. Schedule's interesting. I agree with Clayton. It's not really as difficult as it was certainly last year, right? I mean, last year they had to play Texas. They had to play Oregon. Obviously got Ohio State. This year you avoid Oregon and you avoid Penn State, which is huge. No doubt. You also don't have to play Illinois. You don't have to play Indiana. So you are missing some of the top teams, some of the top projected teams, according to odds makers in the Big Ten. Definitely benefits Michigan. But there is a juicy price on them to go under 8.5 wins for the upcoming season at plus 150, and I'm taking the under on Michigan. I do think they lose that week 2 game against Oklahoma. I think finally they lose to Ohio State after beating them 4 straight years. I think the Buckeyes finally get them this year. And then again, that road trip at USC, I think they're going to stumble there. If they lose those 3 games, USC, if they lose to Ohio State and Oklahoma, which I feel good about, just need one more loss the rest of the way, whether that's against Wisconsin, Nebraska, Michigan State, Washington, I think they're going to drop one of those games. I like fading a team like Michigan with a makeup like Michigan that's obviously trying to replace a lot, but I also think we're overvaluing Michigan just a touch, right? Before those wins against Ohio State and Bama, keep in mind how we kind of all viewed Michigan. I mean, this was a team that was barely going to make a bowl game. This was a team that we didn't think was all that great. They didn't have a quarterback. We were all wondering if Sherrone Moore, how many years he was going to last there in Ann Arbor, replacing Jim Harbaugh. But then he wins those 2 games. He beats Ohio State in Columbus as 19.5-point dogs. Then he beats Bama in a bowl game as 16.5-point dogs. Certainly bought himself some breathing room, and now it feels like there's a ton of excitement around this team, and now you have the number 1 overall recruit in Bryce Underwood. I'm just not so sure. I'm not ready to overreact just like that to 2 wins to Michigan. And even though I think Bryce Underwood is certainly going to be a good player, at the end of the day, we don't know. We never know. We never know what these kids are going to look like until we see him out there. Don't quite know if he's going to have the best supporting cast either at wide receiver or tight end. Losing Colston Loveland, as Clayton was saying, that is a big deal. The running backs are definitely going to help. Justice Haynes is a nice pickup at running back. You know Michigan's always going to be solid on the line of scrimmage, both sides of the ball, O-line and D-line. Last year, they had to replace their top 6 offensive linemen. So this year, they're going to be much more experienced. They're going to be much better on that side of the ball. But I think even though the schedule maybe doesn't appear as tricky this year as it does last year, there are certainly still some games they have to navigate. I think it's going to be tough for them. And I honestly just don't love Michigan's coaching staff. I think Sherrone Moore is towards the bottom half of coaches in the Big Ten in terms of head coaches, right? Got a lot of good head coaches in the Big Ten. Obviously, you got Dan Lanning, you got Ryan Day. We make fun of James Franklin, but he's still one of the top coaches in the Big Ten. Cignetti, you have to give him his props for what he's done at Indiana. Kirk Ferentz has been at Iowa forever. Got a lot of good coaches in the Big Ten. I don't know if Sherrone Moore is necessarily one of the top ones. And Wink Martindale, Clayton was talking about him and the job that he did in some of the big games last season. Guys, as you know, I'm a Ravens fan. I'm very familiar with Wink Martindale and his defensive coordinator styles. There are certain games you'll love him. There are certain games where you're absolutely going to hate him. And when the game's on the line, he's always going to blitz. And I look at what some of the top offensive minds and coordinators did against him last year. Certainly what Sark in Texas did against Michigan last year. He was outclassed and outmanned a little bit. And with his defense not being as talented as it was last year, could get him into some trouble. So I like Michigan under 8.5 wins. I think they feel like an 8-4 team to me. I think the fact that you're getting them at plus 150 as well is a good number. So it's going to be under 8.5 for Michigan for the upcoming season. What about the Dallas Cowboys? Let's talk about them, a team that I am high on for the upcoming season. I mean, as most of you guys know, we have not had a repeat winner in the NFC East in over 20 years. It's been a long time. Eagles are minus 150 favorites to go back-to-back and win the NFC East for the second straight year. Washington is right behind them at plus 225, and then you have the Dallas Cowboys at plus 600 to win the division. I think if there is a bet to make in the NFC East, it is on Dallas at plus 600 to win the division. I think there are a lot of reasons to like Dallas. First is the number at plus 600. 6-1 is a good number on Dallas to win this division. This team still has top-end talent, right? You have one of the best defenders in all of football and Micah Parsons, one of the best receivers in CeeDee Lamb. Dak is coming back from injury, but in terms of regular season, I mean, Dak's terrific. He nearly won the MVP a couple years ago. You get George Pickens now to go alongside with CeeDee Lamb, give them a nice 1-2 punch. And this whole Brian Schottenheimer hire is rubbing people the wrong way, because it's the Dallas Cowboys, right? They should have made a bigger splash than that. They should have gotten a better coach than that. Maybe Schottenheimer turns out to stink. I don't know if he's going to be good or if he's going to be bad. None of us do. But I like betting into that market with the Cowboys, a team that is usually shoved down our throats, and so many people are talking about them in the offseason. Doesn't feel like a lot of people are talking about Dallas for the upcoming season. They're expecting them to miss the playoffs and not be very good. I think Dallas, though, could surprise a lot of people this upcoming season. Now, you can see their schedule on the screen, and Sean's going to pop it back up. Obviously not an easy schedule, right? They got to play Philly two times, Washington two times. They open up the season on the road at the Eagles. They have to play the NFC North, so they're going to have to get the Bears. They're going to have to get the Packers, the Vikings, and the Lions this season, which isn't going to be easy. Play a ton of primetime games, including Thanksgiving Day against the Chiefs. They play Christmas night against Washington. So some high-profile, big-time games, especially later on in the season for Dallas. That middle stretch there, right about when they come off their bye week at the Raiders, Eagles, Chiefs, Lions, Vikings, Chargers, Commanders, and Giants to end the season is not going to be easy as well. But as we know, if history tells us anything, if there's one division where things are going to get wacky, where there are going to be things that we don't necessarily expect to have happen, it's usually the NFC East. I know the Eagles are a monster. They got a great roster with a great team. But they did survive the injury bug a little bit last year, right? And they did stay relatively healthy, while as Dallas, on the other hand, obviously suffered some injuries, including Dak, which was the big one. But I think the Cowboys could have a nice bounce-back season. I like buying them to win the division at plus 600, so that is a bet that I have placed. I certainly like their over win total as well. Over 7.5 is juice minus 165. Maybe look at an alt win total over at 8.5. Get some plus money there if you want to go that route. I'm not betting Dallas to win the NFC or bet the Super Bowl. I'm not that ambitious. But betting them to win the NFC East at plus 600, I think there is some good value there on the Cowboys. All right, a promo from our friends at BetMGM. It's a Wimbledon odds boost token. Go for the ace on your next Wimbledon bet. Use this odds boost token to score a bigger payout if your bet hits. Make sure you take advantage of that from our friends at BetMGM. All right, let's check in now with our guy Chase Kitty. It is a Wednesday. Give Chase a follow on X at Chase A. Kitty does a great job as a BetMGM writer. Join us again each and every Wednesday right here on Send It In. Chase, we got live action going on right now at Wimbledon. We got Djokovic tied up a set apiece against Caboli in their quarterfinal matchup. I was doing the show, so I'm not sure if Sinner did go ahead and beat Shelton in straight sets, but just kind of your thoughts on these live matches going on. Or are there any live betting opportunities, especially maybe on Djokovic here?
Yeah, I'm actually in the same hole as you. I had a meeting with the boss man before I came on here, so I haven't been locked into Wimbledon either this morning. Bad tennis guy by me. So I don't really have an answer for you there. But tomorrow, man, we got some good ones that I think we're going to talk about here.
I like it.
I think Amanda Anisimova playing against Sabalenka is probably going to be the most interesting match left on the board for the entire week. And I would include like a potential Djokovic Alcaraz match from Sunday in that too, just because I don't actually think that's that interesting. I think Alcaraz wins. I think Anisimova, so you know, she's not necessarily a household name the same way that Sabalenka is, but it's a really interesting matchup because Anisimova, I think, is hotter right now. She's playing with better form. I would argue she's a better grass player. And Sabalenka, you can see, because she's so good right now, she gets deep into the French Open draws. She gets deep into the Wimbledon draws. But when she plays somebody that is truly better on that surface than she is, she loses. And I think there's a potential for that tomorrow. So that's what I'll be watching for, because, you know, Sabalenka, like, grass is not her strong suit. I've talked about that before on here. So for her to be in position to finally maybe get a Wimbledon title is a big deal. There's only so many names that can stand in your way when you're already into the semifinal. So I'm really interested in that match. I like the 2-1 that you can get on Anisimova, but if you're not into the full trigger pull on betting the outright upset, I think you could also go plus 1.5 sets. That's minus 140 at BetMGM right now. I would not make too much of the 5-3 head-to-head that Anisimova has over Sabalenka, just because a lot of that came prior to 2022, and that's really when Sabalenka went to the next level. But that match tomorrow is going to be the best of the rest, I think.
I like it. All right, so maybe a potential upset brewing there on the women's side. What about the men's draw, Chase? I mean, is it still Alcaraz for you? You think Djokovic has one more left in him? Sinner did end up winning. He beat Ben Shelton today in straight sets. Do you think Sinner's interesting? I mean, he should have lost to Dimitrov, right? Kind of gets fortunate to advance. Do you think he's almost playing with house money now and he can win? How do you kind of see the men's draw playing out?
Yeah, I do think he's interesting as a foil for Alcaraz. I just have a really hard time betting against Alcaraz right now. And Sinner's really, really good, but I don't think I can do it right now. So it would be Alcaraz for me. I think actionably in the more immediate future, I think the interesting thing to look for tomorrow, actually I think it's Friday, is the semifinal between Alcaraz and Taylor Fritz, the American. Taylor Fritz is a great grass player. He has been on an awesome grass run this year. I don't think he's going to beat Alcaraz or anything, but Alcaraz does like to play with his food sometimes. And so I think one angle that you can look for with that match in particular, if you're up early enough to watch it, is betting the over on the number of games that'll be played. If Alcaraz wins this in straight sets going away, that'll be pretty surprising to me, because Fritz is playing so well on grass and because Alcaraz maybe lets things linger longer than he maybe needs to. So I really like the idea of playing an angle where you're playing over 39.5 games, or you're maybe playing Alcaraz to win 3-1 or Alcaraz to win 3-2.
Love it. We're talking with Chase Kitty here. Give him a follow on X at Chase A. Kitty, BetMGM writer, talking some Wimbledon. Also want to talk some college football as well, because Chase is diving deep in the weeds there. Chase, we're doing our Big Ten previews. We talked about Michigan today. Obviously won the national championship a couple years ago. Year one of Sharon Moore, had some ups and downs. A lot of excitement about Bryce Underwood. Did you do anything with Michigan for the upcoming season?
Have I done anything yet? No, in terms of betting, but I have looked at the team. I've looked at a lot of the power teams at this point and sort of established a general directional idea of where I want to go with it. And as usual, you and I are kind of seeing it exactly the same way as you were laying out earlier. If you're going to have a relatively even vig for Michigan at 8.5, I would say that's a fair price, and I don't necessarily see an angle to get involved. If you're going to have a crazy vig, minus 185 at BetMGM right now to play over 8.5, and you're going to give me 3-2 on the under, I'm going to give you my under money, right? That's where I would be looking to go. I think Oklahoma is going to romp them in week two. I'm really high on Oklahoma this year. Which is maybe a separate conversation that we can also have if there's time. I think you've identified the USC game, sure. I think Ohio State's always dangerous. Michigan State always plays them tight. Nebraska's the road game. So you hit all of the bullet points that I would hit. If you're going to give me 3-2, I'm going to take a shot that they're going to lose four games.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I do like Oklahoma as well. I'm bullish on them. I want to save them for another time, Chase. We got plenty of time to talk college football, yeah, which is a beautiful thing. Real quick, though, in about 30 seconds, yesterday we talked Nebraska. I gave them out as maybe a long shot flyer team, 40-1 to win the Big Ten. Anybody in the Big Ten that you maybe see worth a long shot play?
I don't really like going at long shots in the Big Ten, particularly this year, just because I think it's so tightened up at the top. I think you have your Penn State and your Ohio State and your Oregon, and it's really hard for me to see somebody getting in there. You might get a weird team with an unbalanced schedule to make the championship game. It's going to be one of those guys, I think Penn State, to win the conference. So I don't necessarily like that. In terms of futures betting for the title, maybe you could play around with playoff odds or a win total. I think Illinois is a team I would look at. I want to say my guy Cignetti is going to have another good year, but I mean, that is an extremely regression-bound team, so it's hard to say that.
Certainly is. Chase Kitty, always great getting his info here on a Wednesday, joining us every Wednesday on Send It In. Give him a follow on X at Chase A. Kitty, BetMGM writer. Make sure you guys check out his work. Chase, always great talking to you, my friend. We'll see you again next Wednesday.
Yeah, you too, Peach.
All right, you got it. Guys, let's wrap the show here. PJ's plays on Send It In. little going streak in. We'll give out our plays and go to our golf car. We got the Genesis Scottish Open tomorrow. Marcus Simeon's going to be our play in going streaking. 4-for-8 in his career against Kyle Hendricks. Like that matchup for Simeon. We'll take him today. Sam Burns to finish in the top 10. I like Burns quite a bit this week. We'll take him at plus 300. Dog of the day, give me the Marlins, plus 120 against the Reds. I hope you guys have just been blind betting the Marlins. They've won 10 straight road games, all as underdogs, breaking an MLB record. Let's keep riding the wave. Give me the Marlins today at plus 120. And then my best bet's going to be Michigan under 8.5 wins at plus 150. That plus 150, too good to pass up. I think Michigan goes 8-4 this season. We'll take the under on them. And then our golf card for this week out at the Renaissance Club. Rory at 10-1. He won here a couple years ago. I think he's motivated. He's highly focused this week. Wants to make sure his game is in a good spot heading to Port Rush in his home country. Next week, so we'll take Rory at 10-1. Then how about Sam Burns? Guys are playing unbelievable golf this year. Best putter in the world. Need to have a good short game on Lynx golf courses. We'll take Burns at 35-1. Also take Burns top 10 along with Adam Scott. And then Scott, Justin Rose, Denny McCarthy, all three guys that are great in the wind. We'll take them in the top 20 as well. And those are our favorite golf plays. Again, real quick, favorite plays for today. Marcus Simeon going streaking. Burns top 10 prop lock. Marlins dog of the day. Michigan under 8.5 wins is going to be our best bet. Thanks again to Clayton Safety, Chase Kitty for joining us today on the show. Tomorrow we'll talk Philadelphia Eagles and Indiana Hoosiers. See you guys then.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.